And so, as we look at the passage of Scripture this morning, we're going to look at one of the great passages of Scripture that we find here in our Bible. John chapter 6, we're going to start reading verse number 66. John chapter 6, verse 66. And the Bible says this, "And from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." Talking about Jesus. "Then said Jesus to the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come before You today, Lord, we would ask that You would just bless the reading of Your Word. Lord, as we look at other passages of Scripture this morning, Lord, would You just speak to our hearts through every word that we read about You and, Lord, that's talked about You. Lord, may it just open up our hearts, open up our mind, our eyes, that, Lord, we could see You for who You really are, how much You love us. Lord, what You've done for us, how much You've, how You have demonstrated Your love towards us. And Lord, maybe we'll be able to see that. Maybe we'll be able to enter into that in some small form, some shape or form, Lord, some way that we could see and feel and experience the very love of God in our own lives. And Lord, I sure do hope that You would just bless, You'd speak to each and every heart here this morning. Lord, maybe somebody's here this morning and they're lost and they don't know what it means to be saved. And Lord, I pray that today, Lord, that they would see and they would trust You as Savior today. Lord, we sure would be grateful and thankful for that. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this, like I said, as we look at this passage of Scripture, all of this takes place really over a couple of days. And it starts off over in John chapter 6, verse 1. And the Bible says that Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. Verse 2 says, "And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased." And so here we find Jesus is going out to a place, a wilderness place. It's not a very populated place, but as He's going out, there's a great multitude, there's a great crowd that's going to follow Him there. And there's several reasons why they're going to follow Him, and they're going to try to find out where He's at so they can be with Him. By the way, can I just go ahead and tell you that their motives were not good motives. They had something else in their mind. But I want you to see something. I want you to understand something. As you read through the book of John, and especially in this passage of Scripture that we're going to read here, many times John will help us to understand what's being said. And the way he does that is he will give us a earthly or some kind of physical illustration something just naturally occurs. And he's going to use that to point to and help us to understand a spiritual truth. He's going to give us a physical aspect of it, but it's pointing to a much greater and a much deeper meaning. And it's a spiritual meaning that we need to understand. And John does that regularly through the book of John, but especially in this passage right here, he's going to do that. Let me just show you what I mean. But look at verse number 33, if we could. Look at verse number 33, John 6. He says this. He says, "Well, the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." And so what He had said was, you know, Moses had fed us, had fed our fathers in the wilderness with manna. And of course, Jesus said, He corrected them, and he said, "Wait a minute, it wasn't Moses that fed you, it was God that fed you. God sent that bread. God was the one that took care of you." And so they're looking back to that. And He says, "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto Him, in other words, they're saying, "Here, Lord, I hear what You're talking about. I hear about this bread that You're talking about." And here's what they said, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Man, that's the kind of bread I want, that I can eat it and have, you know, never have to worry about dying. Never have to worry about anything. You know, hey, I've got this bread. You see what He's saying? He's talking about, He's thinking about physical bread. And then Jesus explains it. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. Now listen, now we know and we understand, if we read that and we say to ourselves, okay, so if I eat this bread, I'll never have to hunger. I'll never be hungry again. By the way, can I tell you, one of the greatest needs that these people had at this time was, what were they going to eat? They literally, most people in that day would work all day long so they would have enough money so on the way home they could stop by not the grocery store or Walmart, but they could stop by the local stand there, and they could buy enough food to eat on for that day so they could get up the next day and do the same thing again. You see, they had a great need for food, and so you can understand why, hey, here's food, if I eat it one time, I'll never have to eat again. In other words, I won't have to work anymore. I won't have to do anything. I can do what I want to do. You see, there was a need that they thought they had and they wanted and they needed it. And Jesus was trying to explain to them, listen, the need that you have is not bread. It's not food. What you need is me. That's what Jesus is saying. You need me because Jesus is all we need. Can I just tell you that? Every need that you have, you see, they started off saying, well, we're going to follow Jesus because we want to see a miracle. We want to see something that He does. We want to see Him do something. And buddy, if we do that, man, that's going to be great. And we'll be able to tell everybody about all the great miracles that we've seen. Not only was they following Him for the miracles, but they also, Jesus said, I know why you're following me. You're following me for this bread. You got filled up. But can I just tell you that's not really your greatest need. Not only did they want to see the miracles, not only did they want to eat the bread, but can I tell you, they wanted to hear him teach. The Bible says that when he taught as a man that spoke with authority. And they said this of him, no man speaks like this. No man talks like this. No man teaches like he does. And buddy, they wanted to hear him. They wanted to listen to him. But by the way, can I tell you folks that what they needed was more than what they could see, more than what they could eat, and more than what they could hear. What they needed was Jesus. And that was the greatest need that they had. Folks, can I tell you, that's your greatest need this morning? And can I tell you this? Can I just say it again? That Jesus is more than enough. He's more than enough. Listen, He will satisfy, He will meet every need that we have this morning. There, listen, we don't have to go anywhere else. And by the way, you can go anywhere else you want to. You're never going to be satisfied. You'll never have that. You'll never have your needs met if you follow after the world or anything else. It makes no difference what you do. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy and bring comfort and peace to our hearts. And we're going to see that. We're going to look at some more verses here. But that's, can I just tell you that the reason I think that the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is so important and why it's given such prominence in the Bible. It's the only miracle that is revealed and talked about in all four Gospels. The feeding of the 5,000. Why is that so important? Because I believe this. I believe because it pictured the greatest need that anybody has, and that is the bread of life coming down from heaven. Jesus Christ. He took those little loaves and He blessed it. And He multiplied and He fed 5,000 men plus the women and children. We don't know how many. Thousands and thousands of people were fed that day. Can I tell you, all these people, thousands of people were satisfied physically that day. But can I tell you that by the end of it, most of them walked away empty. Empty because they didn't get the message that Jesus is all that they need. And so let's look at that this morning. The first thing I want us to see this morning, I'm going to give you three things that all of us have need. Our greatest need, three greatest needs I believe we all have. First of all, we have the need of forgiveness for the past. Can I just speak to folks that are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? By the way, do you know that the preacher when he stands up and he says he wants to talk to the lost, you know, really he's really talking to everybody in here this morning. Can I tell you that? Because we don't know who's lost and who's saved. We don't know that. You know, just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you dress up in a suit and tie doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you're here this morning doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is what you've done with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that. But can I tell you, for the lost man here this morning, the lost person here this morning, you know the greatest need we have is to confess and receive forgiveness and mercy for our sin. Do you know that the Lord is more than willing, more than able to save you this morning, no matter who you are, or no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been involved in, it makes no difference. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And he died, sent his son Jesus to die for you on the cross, and he will accept you and take you just like you are this morning. All you have to do, just like these folks right here, is to receive him as your Savior. All you have to do is come to him this morning. It's just as simple as that. And you know, sometimes people try to make things so complicated, they try to make salvation so hard, but really, it's as simple as the illustration that he gave here. And Jesus said this, if you eat this bread, you will never hunger again. Boy, isn't that a great... And by the way, he wasn't talking physically. He was talking about spiritually. You'll never hunger again. You know how we know one, another way... There's a verse of Scripture, and I can't remember the reference, but it says this. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? In other words, if you had the ability to gain everything in this world. If you could buy it all up, or if everything in this world belonged to you, do you know what you would, you know what would be said about you? You are completely empty. You have nothing. You don't have anything. Why? Because this world's all going to burn up. And the only thing that's going to last is what Jesus has done in your heart and what he's done in your life. We need forgiveness. For the past. If you're here this morning, can I just tell you that you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Someone asked a question, why did the crowds follow Jesus and then turn away? They've been fed physically. They've been fed physically that day. And by the way, I believe they were satisfied because the Bible says they were full and they had plenty left over, and they took up the fragments. And I think it was like 12 baskets full of fragments that were left over. And so there was plenty of food there. Everybody was satisfied physically that morning. But can I tell you, they were still empty inside. Look over chapter 6, verse 27. Let's look at that verse. And here's what the Lord is talking to them about. He says, labor not. Labor not. Don't work. Don't try to gain labor not for the meat which perisheth. In other words, he's saying, listen, you're working all day to try to get something to eat. He says, don't let that be your chief concern. By the way, it was important. It didn't say not to do it. It didn't say that it wasn't important, because it was important. I mean, they had to eat. But he said, don't let that consume your life. Going after things, going after what you feel like will satisfy you physically. Don't do that. He says, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that hath God the Father, for him that God the Father sealed. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, don't work all your life just for things. Get that which will last forever. Get that, and by the way, he said, and I will give it to you. I'll give it to you. It's free. You don't have to work for it. By the way, you couldn't work for it if you wanted to. It's a free gift. You have to receive it just like you would receive a loaf of bread and take a bite of that and consume it and let it satisfy your body. Jesus said, listen, in the same way you receive me, it is a gift of God. All you have to do is receive it. All right? And so, can I just tell you, they walked away still empty inside because they did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you not only that, but for the saved man, it's sometimes the guilt of a past life before we're saved. You know, sometimes what hurts Christians is the life that God saved us out of. You know, I think back to my life, and I know we all have regrets, but I think back to my life, and I think of all the years that I wasted serving the devil. I think of all the things that I did that I'm so ashamed of that I really don't even like telling anybody about it, and I don't say very much about that. But I tell you, I was ashamed, and I'm still ashamed of the things that God saved me out of. But listen, I'm so glad that He saved me out of those things. And I'll tell you, sometimes the devil throws those things back up in our minds. And he says, well, you remember when you used to do that? Here you are talking about this, and look at what you used to do. How do you have the nerve to tell somebody? Well, can I tell you, the only way I have the nerve to do that is to say, listen, that was before I got saved. Amen. Jesus saved me, and He delivered me from that. And I don't want that anymore. And I don't need that anymore. And by the way, I wouldn't go back to it if you paid me to. Can I just tell you, listen, I'm thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. But listen, don't let your past life slow you down or dim your testimony for the Lord. Listen, God saved us and He delivered us from all our sins. There's not one sin that stands between me and God except the sins I haven't confessed before the Lord. Can I just tell you? Just real quick, look back over in Colossians chapter 1, if you would. We're going to just look at a couple of verses of Scripture this morning, if we could. Colossians chapter number 1. Wouldn't it be nice if we had somebody that could just punch a button and there it would just pop up on the screen, magically pop up on the screen? Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Look at what the Bible says. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know we've been forgiven? How many sins have we been forgiven? All of them. All of them. All of our sins has been forgiven. All of our sins has been washed away with the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're saved, there is no charges against you. How do you know that? Well, turn back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore when? Right now. Right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right now, there is no condemnation. No charges are against us. None whatsoever. You could go to heaven if you wanted to and say, pull the record on that guy right there. I know he's a sinner. I know he's no good. Pull the record. Let's see the charges against him. And they would look and they'd say, Can't find any. There's no charges against him. By the way, same is true for you. There's no charges against us this morning. And so don't let the guilt of your past life keep you from serving the Lord and telling other folks about Him. Not only that, but sometimes it's our failures to live the Christian life. I'm glad to report that even though we fail, God never fails us. We'll fail. We'll fail. We'll disappoint. We'll let Him down, sure. But I'll tell you what, He'll never let us down. He'll never disappoint us. He'll never turn away from us. He loves us with an everlasting love. I'm so thankful for that. I'll tell you, one of the great studies anybody can do. If you want to study something, if you want to look at something that will change your life, look at the love of God. Just get a concordance, however you can do it on your app, on your phone, type in love, and look at all the times that God talks about love and how much He loves you and what His love has done for us. I tell you, it will bless your life. It will change your life. God loves us with an everlasting love. Not only do we need forgiveness for the past, but we need strength and guidance for the future. Look over James chapter 1 if you could. If you want to, I'll just read it for you if you don't want to turn there. But James chapter number 1. James chapter 1, verse number 5. The Bible says this, If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, I know in the context of this passage, and people are always careful to mention this, that this is talking about trials, and this is talking about, you know, things that we're going through, and all those kind of things. I understand that. But I believe that it also applies to every area of our life. You know, God wants us to have wisdom. God wants us to God wants us to have His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding. And He says, listen, the Spirit of God, when I leave, Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going away. And when I leave, I'm going to send the Spirit of God to live in your heart and your life. Why? So He can point you to me. Listen, Jesus wants us to have His wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Do any of you lack wisdom? Every one of you ought to be standing up shouting now. You're just like I am. You lack wisdom. You know how I know that? All you got to do is ask your wife. She would be happy to tell you. She'd be happy to help you with that. Listen, all of us lack wisdom. You know, you may be an expert in something. You may be. I don't know. I don't know your life. I don't know how smart each and every person. But I tell you what, you know, all of us have some area of life to where we're better in some than other things. Would y'all agree with that? Some of us, we're smart in something. You know, sometimes we ain't figured it out yet or found out what it is, but we're smart in something. All of us have wisdom in something. But can I tell you, God has wisdom in everything. There's nothing that He don't know. You can't ask Him a question that He doesn't have an answer to. Listen, there's not a problem that you have that He don't have the answer for. All we have to do is go to Him. Lord, I need Your help. Guess what He says? I'll be there. I'm there. I want to help you. Listen, I love you. That's the reason I want to help you. I want you to be more like me. That's the reason I'm there to help you. That's the reason why I'll give you wisdom. If you'll just call on me. Listen, God loves us. God wants to give us strength and guidance for our life right now. And folks, I'm telling you, we need it bad, don't we? We need it bad. Look back to Colossians again, if you would. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. We're just reading some verses. By the way, there's no greater way to say something than just read a verse for it, right? This is on the authority of God. This is what He said. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says this. In whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Talking about the Lord. Listen, He's got it all. He's got it all. And all we have to do is go to Him and ask Him. Can I tell you that we need wisdom for life's everyday problems? Any of you have any problems? Any of you? How ridiculous is that? Who doesn't have problems? We all have problems. Man, listen, there's all kinds of problems that we have. Sometimes we have problems in our marriage. Now, that doesn't apply to me and my wife. You know, maybe it does to y'all. We don't have problems. But if you do need them, if you do need help in that area, guess who the best one to call on and ask? The Lord Jesus Christ, yeah. Lord, can you help me in the areas of my marriage? Well, we're having a tough time. We fuss and fight all the time. We can't get along. We can't even hardly live in the same house together. Now, I'm not testifying this morning. That's just what I've heard from other people, right? So, if that's you this morning, guess what? The Lord can help you. Yeah, the Lord can help you with that. Go to Him. You know what our problem is? Most of the time, we've got so much pride, we don't want to ask for help. We don't want nobody to help. Listen, I know what needs to be done. I'm just probably not going to do it, but I know what needs to be done. Folks, listen, why do we live like that? God says, I'll help you if you'll just let me. Listen, we need wisdom. We need strength. We need guidance. For our present life, what we're going through right now. Boy, I tell you, life's tough. Life's tough, and sometimes it just gets tougher, don't it? It just kind of multiplies itself. How about how to raise your children? Any of you have trouble with your children? Any of you have trouble getting your children to mind and do what's right? Not even a grunt from anybody. Now I know that one ain't right. I know that ain't right. I've seen your children, right? And y'all don't look at mine, all right? But mine's out of the house, so that's, I can't do nothing about that. But anyway, boy, do we need? Listen, one of the things that probably drove us more crazy than anything when our children were living at the house, boy, man, did we ever need help with our children? My goodness, we need help. We need help. Why? Because, you know, when they say there's no instruction manual, there is. There is an instruction manual of the Bible. But can I tell you that when it gets down to should my child have a cell phone or not? You know, because all the other children have got cell phone stuff. You know, it's hard to find that in the Bible. It's hard to know what to do with that. You know, but can I tell you, listen, the Lord wants your children to turn out for Him more than we want our children to turn out for Him. And He's more than willing to help us with that. He wants to help us. He wants your children to turn out to live and serve Him all the days of their life. I'm telling you. Hey, listen, if God be for us, what difference does it make who's against us?
Right.
You know, if the world's against us, then they are. If the devil's against us, and he is, what difference does it make? If the Lord's on our side, He'll help us with that. And boy, I tell you, we need help in our marriage. We need help. We need help with our children. And what about you know? I can't say this because you know this is what I got in my notes. I'll just read it. People at the place we work. Do you know if you need help with the people you work with? Man, you wouldn't believe the people I work with. See, I can't say that because they're sitting here. But if they wasn't here, let me tell you, I could tell you stuff you just wouldn't believe. Man, any of you have problems with the people you work with? My, I remember working public job. I used to, you know, work a truck, and we'd have to go out there and load our trucks and unload it, and there was people working on the dock and unloading stuff and doing stuff too. And you know, I don't know what it is about that, but you know, they felt like they had the right to say anything they wanted to say. It didn't matter who was around or nothing. But I know people can say some of the most awful things that, you know, it's just hard to imagine. It's just hard to imagine. By the way, I mean, not even on the dock anymore. All you got to do is just turn the TV on. You can hear anything you want to hear right there on the TV. And so, folks, can I just tell you, I know. And people, you know, when people found out that I was a Christian, you know, they immediately, it's just like a magnet. They come after you. They come after you. They're always talking to you about this, that, and other, you know. They always want to see your reaction. They always want to see what you're going to say about this or what you think about this. And if they can give you a hard time, that's what they're going to do. But folks, can I tell you, the Lord can help you with that. The Lord can help you with that. Listen, the Lord wants you to win those people to Him. And He'll help you love them like He loves them. And He can help you talk to those people and demonstrate to them how much Jesus loves them so they can hear the gospel and they can be saved. You know, most of the time, and I know there's always exceptions, but most of the time the people I worked with, when they found out I was a Christian, and they found out that I wasn't hypocritical, I didn't live one way here and one way there, when they found out that, you know, that I lived for the Lord or tried to live for the Lord, and I tried to witness to them on a regular basis and all that. You know, most of the time, most of those people respected the fact. They didn't, it's not that they thought that I was a great guy, but they respected the fact that I was a Christian and I lived like a Christian. You know, most people will respect that. Can I tell you, listen, God, God will help you with those folks that you work with. Can I just tell you that God has an answer for anything that you're going through? Not only do we need wisdom, but we need strength. You know, to make it day by day. To make it day by day. I tell you, sometimes one of the hardest things in the world is just going to work every day. Every day, you know, you're going to face some of the same problems, the same situations. And you know, sometimes life, like I said, life can be hard. We understand it. We know. But God can give you strength. The Bible says God's not going to put any more on you than you would be able to withstand. God will help you. He will strengthen you. And He will help you make it through. You know, before man is saved, if he has problems, he faces those problems alone. You know, there when life's problems come at you, if you're lost, you don't have anybody to turn to. Now you could turn, you know, maybe to your wife or, you know, somebody that you could talk to and this, that, and other. But to be honest with you, though, those people are not going to give very much help because they got as many problems as you do. They need as much help as you do. But can I tell you, when a man gets saved, you know, we've got somebody in our corner that we can always turn to. Amen. That's always going to be there for us. Folks, listen, you don't have to face life's problems alone. Can I give you just one verse of Scripture, and we all know it. We all probably have it memorized. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Listen, God will give us His strength. And He will help us to make it to get through anything that we're going through. All right? And let me give you the last thing real quick. The last thing is that we need hope for the future. Hope for the future. Can I tell you something that we already know? Death awaits every person. Death awaits every person. All of us are headed toward the grave. All of us are heading that way. Unless the Lord comes back. Now, the Lord could come back at any moment, change all of that. Change all that. And that would be a great thing. But Hebrews 9:27, the Bible tells us this, as it is appointed unto man once to die. Everybody's facing it. Everybody's headed that way. But can I tell you that for the Christian, the future is bright. Do you know this is as bad as we will ever have it right here on this earth? This is bad as it's going to get. When we die, it's just going to get better. Everything changes. I was talking in life groups this morning over in 1 John chapter 3, where it talks about that one day the Lord's coming back. One day we're going to see Him face to face. One day, and the Bible says when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being like Jesus? You're going to be just like Him. I'm going to be just like Him. And I know it's not hard for you to imagine that, right? One day I'm going to be just like Jesus. And all the things that He has promised us in the Word, all the things that we read about here is going to happen to us just like that. It's going to be fulfilled. Our faith will no longer depend on what we can see. It's going to be reality. It's just like that song to where it says, Our last breath here. We take the last breath here, and the next breath is heavenly. Heavenly air. Heavenly oxygen. You know? We're gonna take our last breath here, and then we're gonna be in heaven. And folks, can I tell you, that's not a bad deal. Matter of fact, that's a pretty good deal. We're gonna get out of this old world, and we're gonna be with Him forever. This is as bad as it's going to be for the Christian, but can I tell you, now folks, listen, I know this is negative, but can I tell you, for the lost man, this is the best you'll ever have it. This is it. This is as good as it gets for you. Because when you die, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse, way worse. Worse than you could ever imagine. We've got the description of it in the Bible, but it's way worse than the description. I believe it's unimaginable how bad it's going to be. But can I tell you, you don't have to do that. You don't have to face that. All you have to do is turn to the Lord. Just like He's talking about in John chapter 6 here. All you have to do is receive Him as your Savior. You turn to Him, you accept Him. He says, you will never die. You'll never die. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a great thing to think about, that once we trust Christ as our Savior, we will never, and even take it a little step farther, we'll never thirst again. In other words, we'll never have to be hungry for this world again. We'll never hunger again. Listen, we are satisfied forever. Amen. We have nothing that we don't have. All right, let me, and then again, this is, like I said, this is the last thing, but no dread of death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about this. It says this, O death, where is thy sting? You know, the Christian doesn't have to fear death anymore. You know, we do not have to fear death of any kind, of any way, shape, or form. Oh, death, here's what he says. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? One day, even those that have died and are buried are in the grave. Oh, grave, where's your victory? The grave can't hold them.
Right.
The grave can't keep them down. One day they're going to come up out of that ground. And listen, we're going to be with the Lord forever. All right, can I tell you, the death may get us, but the grave can't hold us. Can I just say this? Where will you go when you face life's problems? Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. He has the answer. He has the help that you need. Let's bow for prayer. Okay. Lord, as we come before you today, we are so grateful. Lord, we're so thankful for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that the message spoke to each and every heart this morning. And Lord, I know that only you, Lord, can take a message and work in a man's heart and life. And so, Lord, we'd ask that you'd do that. Lord, there may be somebody here this morning. Lord, like we've prayed before, that, Lord, they may be lost today. And Lord, maybe for the first time they realize that they're lost and they need to be saved. I pray that, Lord, you speak to their heart. Lord, help them to see their need of salvation. Lord, help them to see their need that only you can satisfy, that only you can take care of. And I pray that, Lord, you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us as Christians to realize that you're the only one that can help. You're the only one that can bring comfort and peace. Lord, you're the only one that can help in time of trouble. And I'd ask that you'd bless and you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to turn to you. We're sure going to thank you for what you do now. We ask all this in Jesus' name.